So we really make sure that the information we're sharing, we are only sharing with the people who really need to know. So only the people who are supporting the individual or family are involved in creating that wraparound support. We're not going to involve an agency in an intervention if they have nothing to bring to the table. Yeah. They're just not invited. It's how we maintain that confidentiality piece and make sure that we're only sharing information with service providers who really need to know that information.
Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Bronwyn Young and Jocelyn Foyart are on CICK News today to speak about the Smithers Situation Table. The Smithers Situation Table is a multi-agency group that meet weekly in confidential meetings, as you heard Jocelyn say in a previous clip, and the approach is only to involve people from agencies who can handle the needs of the person or people in our community that are in need. The funding for the Smithers Situation Table, which was granted in 2021, was provided by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General's Office of Crime Outreach and Gang Reduction. And Situation Tables, which are also known as hubs, help frontline staff from the public safety, health, and social service sectors to identify vulnerable people and collaboratively and rapidly connect them to services before they experience a negative or traumatic event. Situation tables empower agencies to reduce a broad range of risks that can impact a person's well-being and safety.
My name is Bronwyn Young. I work for Northern Society for Domestic Peace as the Housing and Support Director, and I also help co-chair the situation table.
And I am Jocelyn Foydart. I am a police officer in Smithers, and I'm also a registered social worker, and I coordinate the situation table in Smithers.
So the situation table is a multi-agency approach to community issues. Can you tell me what model was used to create the Smithers situation table and maybe even if you want to break down some of the functions as well?
So the situation table is managed by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General. So through a program called the Collaborative Public Safety Programs, the situation table was created. It is a model for community safety and well-being. And the goal of the table is to wrap services around our community's most vulnerable population. Our situation table, we get together and we work with folks in Smithers and out in Whitsett. So there is a situation table in Houston. New Hazleton has also been provided with funding dollars, but our table focuses on our community in Smithers and in Whitsett.
How often does the table meet? Can you tell me what a typical meeting looks like?
Sure. Members of the community who work with justice, social service, and policing meet together every week at the courthouse. And we start the table with any updates that might be happening in community for our members at the table. And then we will go over situations that were opened the week before or may still be open from previous weeks to see if we can close those now, saying that things have been supported well or however that might have worked out. Then we open up for anybody to bring forward new situations that they feel somebody is in acutely elevated risk.
Yeah, I think just to clarify so folks know what acutely elevated risk is. So AER, or acutely elevated risk, refers to situations where individual families are facing a composite level of risk factor spanning across multiple human service and justice disciplines and where there's a high probability of severe harm occurring soon.
Okay. It sounds really lithe then that it's something that can actually move and work as fast as maybe these incidents and emergencies are coming up in the community.
It's really quick. The goal of the table is to actually provide a wraparound approach within 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
So really we allocate 1 hour to bringing situations to the table, and then we stay within the next half an hour to really focus on, okay, what are we going to do? And then we make that intervention within the meeting. So there's no going back to your office and getting pulled into something else. We're really addressing it in the moment so that we can provide that service as quickly as possible.
When did this start happening? And was it the police that actually spawned or created this program?
I know that the original creator of the hub was actually somebody in Prince Albert. It was created because law enforcement saw that there was a real need to move work away from the police. So it was really to address these root causes of crime, because people come into contact with police who may not have any criminal activity.
Yeah.
And then they're pathologized for maybe having a health issue, and that shouldn't be happening. So this way we can try to move that work away from the police to appropriate social service agencies.
Implementing a more community-minded approach to issues such as rising numbers of people living in encampments and mental health experiences and emergencies, as you've mentioned, as well as things like food insecurity and violence, what positive effects does this have in the community that you've seen?
I've seen positive effects with the collaboration of service providers and the very respectful sharing of information to help support individuals and community. I've seen relationships build between service providers and, more importantly, really, between service providers and community members who are struggling. We have really benefited from this approach because it does take a community, and it takes a community who cares and who's willing to put forward action in a timely way. And the folks who we serve through this table recognize that and are benefited from that.
Awesome. Great.
I would say one of the biggest things I've noticed too has been when we approach an individual or family and say, hey, we're here to support you, these are the services we have to offer you to help you get out of crisis and connect you to services, people are often shocked that there are this many people in the community that care about me. And I think that is really heartwarming, and I think it's important for us to remember that we are one humanity and that we are here as a community to support each other no matter what. And seeing people be so appreciative of that, and also seeing people go, we had no idea that the police cared. We had no idea that this service was around. And so that has been really heartwarming for me to see that, and the collective, just to see that as service providers and justice and health, we're not in this work alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're in it together. And if we pool our resources, we can actually deliver a service to our community that's exceptional.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think what's surprising is just the not a one size fits all answer to so many intricate issues and experiences that someone might be having as well. So individually, I want to speak a little bit about how your organizations, I'm saying benefit from the table, but and when I use the term benefit, I do mean in if it relieves workload or stress, or if even maybe just the transparency between agencies makes it easier. So Bronwyn, because the Northern Society of Domestic Peace is likely overrun with trying to fill a lot of gaps in the community. I have been able to speak to you a couple of times and witnessed just the sheer amount of services that the NSDP has to provide. We're looking at things like need for safety, beds, safe housing, security, counseling, emergency response, childcare, and et cetera. So how does the situation table, how does that benefit the Northern Society of Domestic Peace?
I think it's really beneficial to be able to meet people while they're in community to offer supports with a group of service providers, so that if and when they are utilizing Northern Society's supports, we have a relationship already. Yeah. We have other people who we know in the community are also on their support team, and we can help collaborate that. So that, yes, that real sense of community among support providers has been very helpful. We often are met with crises, multiple ones, day after day.
Yeah. So, Jocelyn, RCMP have a battle every day to protect the members of our community, but they also need to build trust with very vulnerable populations as well. So does the situation table create real connections for people who maybe don't have any reason or experience in trusting the police?
Yeah, for sure. So I think transparency is really important. And I think it's important to acknowledge that trust is very hard to build, because a lot of vulnerable people and marginalized groups have very negative experiences with the police. And that's something that I understand very deeply. And so I guess the first thing I want to do is honor that, and honor that, yes, there is an issue trusting police. And I completely understand that. And I think that we are working to build that trust. through collaborative relationships with service providers, but also people with lived experience. Mm. And I think that within the RCMP and within enforcement and public safety, there's a lot of language around change. We want to see change, but what does change actually look like? And how do we implement that on the front lines? Mm-hmm. And I think the situation table is a mechanism for us to really implement change by collaborating with people with lived experience and saying, hey, what do you need to be healthy? Yeah. And how can I use my power that I have within the system to give some power back to you so that you can be healthy? And we've seen, I think, at the detachment level, a decrease in call volume. And wow. I think that's really important to share, because what the situation table has done is trying to move work away from the police. Mm-hmm. So the police are one of our top referrers to the table. They say, hey, we're coming to you with an individual or family in crisis. They actually have no criminal activity, but they're coming to us because they have health issues, substance use challenges, mm-hmm. housing issues. And these are not issues that the police should be dealing with.
Yeah.
We know that as police. Community knows that too. But what other mechanism do we have in place to move that work away from the police? Mm. And the situation table allows us to do that. So we then create that change. We create the change that the community wants to see. They don't want to see police. We don't want to police housing issues. We don't want to police health issues.
Yeah.
We want those folks to be connected to resources so that they don't come into contact with the police. There's nothing worse than, you know, already being in a situation that is terrible and then having enforcement come in and making you feel so much worse.
Yeah.
And so much more marginalized. So this situation table is really beneficial for the police, because that's really helped us, I think, provide a new level of public safety. We need to modernize police services. We need to modernize the delivery of public safety. And through the situation table and collaborating with social service partners, we can contribute to public safety holistically. Mm. So Bronwyn Services, NSDP Services, Friendship Center, Goodacre Place, you know, we have a lot of justice, health, and social service providers at the table. They also contribute to public safety. They also help keep people safe, not just the police.
Yeah.
So we're able to really modernize the delivery of public safety within Smithers through the operations of the situation table.
And do you think that the actual number of calls coming into the detachment that have lowered, is that because people are clear on the services that they might actually, that might be more beneficial to them when they are in crisis?
The situation table is proactive. So instead of being reactive and responding mm-hmm. to people in crisis, the police are able to bring situations where, hey, you know what? I'm seeing this person kind of dysregulate, coming into contact with us. Nothing's criminal. Can we connect them to resources
Whoa.
Before they end up in a state of crisis? And I think prevention is something that's actually really hard to track and really hard to capture in terms of data.
Yeah.
So I think that it's hard to measure our success. But I think just even anecdotally from talking to other police officers in the community, being in the office, I think that proactively, if we can connect people to resources, then they won't need to come into contact with the police. Mm-hmm. And then we also prevent marginalized and vulnerable groups from coming into contact with law enforcement when they don't need to.
Could you list who is the agencies that are actually present at the table in Smithers?
Of course, there's RCMP, mm-hmm. Northern Society for Domestic Peace, the Friendship Center, Smithers Community Services, there's probation, Ministry of Children and Families. There are chiefs.
Mm-hmm. We're honored to have the elected chief
okay.
from WITSET come to our table, as well as WITSET Family Support comes to our table,
yeah.
as well as Northern Health, the mental health outreach team comes mm-hmm. to our table.
The school district comes mm-hmm. to our table. It's a very well-rounded table.
What's the next step when you see larger sweeping moves that the table wants to make? Mm-hmm.
Data is really important, and we keep Skookum data on the provincial database. Jocelyn is a star at that, and I'm so grateful. So we do have things that we can bring forward that are very concrete, very able to track, to say this is working, this isn't. Mm-hmm. And we do definitely, as individuals in the table, attend and encourage community events and support in that way, mm-hmm. just to have that presence out in the community. So as far as systematic change, I think that's what we're all here for.
Yeah.
And we pick up whatever pieces we can to move forward every day.
So we, through our data, our collection of data, so the community knows, our top priorities in Smithers are housing and health. We really have a lack of housing options across the spectrum, which brings individuals and families to the table. We also have a lack of healthcare options. We have a lack of substance use and addictions treatment options in our community. People who are seeking detox or are seeking those support services are being told that they have to leave their community if they want to access those services. So what can we do as a collective to advocate with policymakers to say, hey, pay attention to our rural community. Bring some more services to us, to our community, so that we don't have to leave. And it's really hard to ask somebody who's already in a place of addictions and health challenges to leave their only support network.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that. So how can I expect somebody who's not as privileged as me to do that?
Yeah.
So we do try to foster advocacy, big projects like Pride. Brahman and I created our Pride Safety Ambassadors because we want to acknowledge that safety is important for the LGBTQ community, but we also don't want to have a whole bunch of uniforms around because we know that there is a history of police not having positive relationships with marginalized groups. So what can we do as a collective to contribute to public safety so we don't need that uniform presence?
Yeah.
And so we definitely try to like work together as a collective to address like all public safety issues in Smithers.
So there's not a council member at these meetings. This is just for service agencies and services.
It is. Yeah. Wow. We've done like committee of a wholes with the town. And so we do regularly share information with the town and we've shared with them too our data and our risk factors. So they are very well aware of what our top priorities are for Smithers.
I just want to ask one last data question, but if you can just give me the numbers, how many situation tables are in BC and then how many are in the north?
So the latest data from the province is that there are 40 tables within BC that they've funded and 9 in the north. So in the north, there's a table in Houston, Kitimat, New Hazleton's been given funding, Prince George, Prince Rupert, Quesnel, Smithers, Terrace, and Williams Lake.
Wow. How is it funded?
It's actually, the funding comes from collaborative public safety programs. Our funding is held by the town.
Okay.
The town holds our funding. It's a very small amount of funding. We're given funding dollars for mainly for our training. We have a small amount left that we are using. Sometimes I bring in speakers. Next month, I'm having an amazing Indigenous woman come fly out from Vancouver to talk about her program that she supports family members of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yeah.
So we're bringing her to Smithers. She's going to provide some information to the table. It's really important that we involve those voices, I think, at our table so that we always have that in our mind when we're working on our interventions. And it's also, too, she has a program that's available for us. So we try to use our funding dollars for that as well. So not a ton of money. And what the table is supposed to do is it's supposed to be run off the side of your desk, mm-hmm. which I do. We're also passionate about our work.
Yeah.
And these are our clients anyways. So it actually helps service providers because when you get together at the table, you realize how many of you are actually working with the same client.
Right.
And how you can pool your resources together to actually make your job easier mm-hmm. and also your client's life a lot easier by working together.
Now, I guess what I wouldn't mind knowing from the both of you, is there a way that this grows that you see that alleviating some of that stress off of the people in the community who are always the ones doing that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fair question. And I think there always in every community is this handful or basketful of people who do carry the majority of these kind of spaces.
Yeah.
For myself personally, I've made really amazing connections with specifically like other women in the community who are sitting at this table who we can reflect back to each other very easily, this understanding and mutual admiration and support. And that carries my heart. That's really helpful. I know we live in community. It's really nice to be reminded once a week, these are our people.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for everyone that comes to that table.
I very much echo that as well. I am so grateful every Tuesday. I feel like when I sit back and I reflect on the work that we've done, I really feel this real strong sisterhood and that this real collective energy that has contributed to my own positive mental health. And I think that we're able to not burn out and protect ourselves by participating in the situation table, getting together and realizing, like Bronwyn said, that we're not carrying the load alone. Mm-hmm. And it's, we know the system is not set up in a positive trauma-informed way. We know that. So this helps us to smash whatever barriers we possibly can. I now have a list of people on my phone that I can text and be like, hey, I got this thing. Can we work together and solve it right now? As opposed to sending an email to then get bumped down, to then wait 2 weeks. We've built these relationships where we can just directly reach out and solve problems right away, which contributes to like our own ability to keep doing the work.
Yeah. Was there anything else that I didn't ask that's important to include in this conversation today?
I think the only thing I wanted to add was just to hold some space and honor where this originally came from. So the situation table was an original idea, a collaboration between the town and the Zelkamp Friendship Center.
Okay.
I think that it's also just important to know that's where the situation table came from for our community. Bronwyn and I are co-running it right now, but it was an original collaboration with the town and the Friendship Center, and they worked really hard to bring this to our community.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.